been a while. Y'all miss me?
Yeah.
All right. I know you have. Like, listen to all that jocularity there. Y'all have missed me a bit. Y'all just glad I'm glad to be up here in one piece. Went skiing this past week, came back, no broken bones, all good. All right. Slid down the mountain a few times. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to be in Matthew. Going to be in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at one verse again. We're going to look at verse 9. We've been talking about and studying through the Beatitudes. The first four Beatitudes dealt with our inside, all right, our character of who we are. We talked about how God shines down on the inside of us, and that must take place first. We must be well before we can show that through our well-being out to others. So in the second half of these Beatitudes, 5, 6, 7, and 8, we're looking at our exterior, the things that flow out of us. We're calling these virtues. These are our conduct that comes out of our character. Do I not have my cell phone? Can y'all hear me? Hold on a second. I'm hooked, but I'm not hooked. Hey, you know what? Be helpful if you turn it on. Is that better?
Yeah.
All right, good deal. Sorry about that. So we're talking about our conduct. We're talking about the three virtues that will be wrapped up and talk as we finish this next week when we're talking about persecution. Virtue number one was about mercy and compassion. So as God speaks into our character, what flows out of our conduct is mercy. Then we talked about a pure heart. Our heart must be pure. So we talked about purity. So we've talked about compassion and purity. Today we're going to talk about virtue number three, which is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. These virtues are the foundations that form our conduct. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and 18 says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away, and behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God. Now, look, we've heard this verse a lot, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. But look, it is a continuous thing that God is trying to reveal to us and tell us through these letters of Paul. So verse 18 comes right in behind that, and it says this. Listen, it says, now that all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So God gave us, God reconciled us to him. He brought us back into a relationship with him. So as we have been reconciled back to God, then it says scripturally that we are given a ministry of reconciliation. What is reconciliation? Is reconciliation, I'm going to give you two options here and you choose. Is reconciliation bringing things together or pulling things apart? It's bringing things together. To reconcile something is to bring it back together. So if you and I have been given a ministry of reconciliation, what is our job as part of the body of Christ? Is to what? Bring things together. So virtue number three is harmony. Harmony is what we're going to be talking about today. Our job as in the body of Christ is to live in harmony with each other. This is the evidence of the divine identity that has been given to us through Christ Jesus. As we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, our job then now is to reconcile others or take this ministry of reconciliation and bring others into harmony. So when people come to the church, they should not see something that is disjointed and disharmonious. We should be one when we are here together. We should be one out in the community. Our voice should be the same. Is that what the world sees in the church today? No, it doesn't. It sees all this discord. It sees us living our own individual lives and not thinking corporately about ourselves as the body of Christ. Look, we live in a very individualistic society. And not only in our culture, but in the world, everything is about the one. Do you realize that one person can say something now and it changes everything for the whole? Have y'all noticed that? One person complains about something, you have to change the rule. One person speaks out against something, then it's all wrong, isn't it? If one person speaks out against it, just takes one today, because we live in the individualistic society that champions all of that. Now, look, there is power in the one. I don't want to get away from that, but the one should always be working together individually for the greater whole. This is what we've lost. We've lost this. Our job is that we have a relationship with Christ. Christ has given us giftedness. He's given us talents. He's given us a voice. He's given us our faculties for us to be able to use for him. It is all to glorify him in the body. And this is where we have the disconnect. We're no longer thinking about the body as a whole. We think about what's best for us. When we come to church today, we don't think about how we can make that body better. We think about what's in it for me. So when we come to church, we want to know what the church can do for us. Now, does anybody remember Winston Churchill's famous saying? Not Winston Churchill. Who was it that said, ask not what you can do for you? That was Kennedy, wasn't it? John F. Kennedy. Whew, golly, Pete, wrong country. Lost it. John F. Kennedy. Now, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Is that a motto today that works for us? No, man. We don't think about the country at all. We think about what's in it for us. And this is the same thing that is out in our culture today has bled into the church. So when we come to the church, we think about what does the church have for me? And how can the church help me? That's not what Christ has called us to. Christ has called us to a life of salvation and a life of servanthood within the body of Christ. So when we come here, we should be looking for ways that we can bring harmony to the congregation and build the congregation up, build the community up. And so in doing so, we should be thinking about how we can take what God has given us so that it brings forth a ministry of reconciliation. We should be thinking about how things should be brought together and not how things should be torn apart. When we think about ourselves individually, that's when we get out into our own little life and our own little thought process, and we forget about the greater whole in this. And when we forget about the greater whole, then we forget about the entire purpose of God. I want you to think about this morning. Hey, look, I want to say this. It's great to finally feel like that we're making some headway through the winter, isn't it? That flu season may be finally over. Look around. Look around. Just stop for a second and look around. Isn't it great to see everybody back in church? It is good to see people back in church. I know we've got folks traveling today and out of town. We still have some that are sick. But it is starting to fill back in here at Mount Salem Baptist Church. Why is that a positive thing? Because when the pews are filled, there's a fullness in this place, right? We feel like the family is all together. Our job should be throughout the week to make sure that that happens every Sunday when it's possible. I know that this winter's been hard. I know it's been difficult for us. But we want to see this place filled up, not numerically, but for the fullness that comes from the body being all gathered together. When we're all here, it's not about whether or not you all get to hear this great message that I prepared for you, right? Or to sing the wonderful songs that Annalisa has put together for us to be able to sing on Sunday mornings. It's a togetherness that we have that brings about a fullness in our heart and a completeness about who we are in Christ Jesus. That's what makes these days great. Because we take them for granted. We don't know when our time is done. We don't know when these days are over for us. So we must make the most of the opportunities that we have to take part in this ministry of reconciliation. And so this gets lost. And it is totally lost in our culture, in our community, and within the church today. And we need to bring it back. Why? Because it is a picture that we present to the world. It is a part of the conduct of who we are, and as we go out and show this to the world, it makes a difference. Is our world harmonious right now? No! We are so fractured. So fractured. So when we have something in our life that brings harmony, fullness, and completeness to us, it shines forth to those who are empty, for those who are fractured, for those who are disassociated. So Scripture says this, blessed are the peacemakers. Who are the peacemakers? The peacemakers are three things. Those who know one, the peacemaker. There is no peace in this world. Scripture tells us over and over and over and over again, we'll never find peace in this world. We find peace in God, and peace only comes from God. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says this, "For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of all the saints." There should be peace amongst God's people. Because why? Because God is a God of confusion? No. God is a God of order. God has brought us together so that we might worship in an orderly manner, so that we might serve Him in an orderly manner, so that we might be orderly people. And in doing so, what we do is we present to the world something that the world does not have. You see, it's that order that brings peace to our life out of all the chaos that goes on around us. It is absolutely chaotic for me to read the news today. It really is, isn't it? Have you ever thought in your life that people could be this depraved? The stuff that goes on today, the depravity that's in our culture and in our minds, when we are left to our own devices, we are evil. We are evil. We become the very essence of it. But when we're together, when we're in one accord, when we're in one mindset, when we're in one direction, when we're in one purpose, when we have this divine identity that God gives us, we live in harmony. I know it's very hard for us to realize this and to understand this, but let me just give you an example. Years and years ago, there was great revivals that were taking place across our country. There were all of these men who came over basically from England when the country was young. They began to speak truth. They began to speak truth in love. And great revivals started taking place. In fact, so much so that there were communities that disbanded their police department because they had no crime. Doors were not locked at night. And we lived in harmony with each other. Why? Because this peace and this understanding that we had corporately in the body of Christ had flowed out into our communities. That's not where we live now. But what we can be is a light to God, as God's people, to these dark places. By the way that we live and the way that we treat each other. We're peacemakers because we know the one who gives us peace. Second thing that we need to see is not only do we know the peacemaker, we know the Prince of Peace. God sent His Son to die for us. This scripture that we just read earlier said that He reconciled Himself to us. He did that through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 19 and 20 says this, "For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him," capital H, in Christ, "for through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." God has reconciled everything. Everything will be made right. Just as our world has collapsed and fallen since sin entered into the garden, and our lives has collapsed and fallen as sin entered into the garden, that will all be made whole and be made well. Through revelation, God is reconciling all of this back to us. All of this destruction that takes place in revelation is a part of the reconciliation process to bring it back and make it whole. There's a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, a new earth. He makes it back into what it was, that which He created. So He's bringing this all back around. You and I are new creatures in Christ. So if we're new creatures, that means that there's something that's different about us than the way that it was before. There's something that's different about us than what we see in the world every single day. And that comes through the Prince of Peace, through the life of Christ Jesus and what He's done to reconcile us to God. The third thing is not only do we know the peacemaker and the Prince of Peace, but we know the agent of peace, the one who pursues peace. And that comes through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Romans 14, 17 and 19 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another." Look, We lost a great man of God this week. I've been doing a lot of reading about what people, even worldly folks, have written about Billy Graham. I have read nothing less one woman who went off on him on a Twitter or something like that, and then people jumped on her for what she had to say. But I've read nothing where people spoke badly of Billy Graham. Now, he had his flaws. There's no doubt about it. He was a man just like all of us are human, and we have things where we've made mistakes. The thing that I noted about him when I was reading is that he was not afraid to admit his mistakes. When he did something that was wrong, or maybe he spoke something about which he shouldn't have said, he retracted it. He apologized for it. He moved forward. He tried to create an air where we were what? Together as one. He reached across ecumenical lines. He didn't care if you were Catholic or Protestant. He didn't care if you were liberal or if you were conservative. If you believe that Jesus Christ was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. He looked past all the stuff to get to the main thing and kept it that. And all people that knew him saw this in him. His life exuded this. That's the example of what the power of the Holy Spirit does in and through our lives. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that people see the truth of God shining in us and through us. And they can overlook our flaws because of the power and the presence of God. So we don't have to be perfect. All we have to do is live through the power and the perfection of the Spirit of God working in our lives. And then all of our mistakes and all of our flaws are seen and known, but the power of God works through that. And the power of God through the Holy Spirit overcomes that. And it says that not only are we at peace with God, but we're at peace with men. And we're approved by men. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Here's a man that lived and was approved by men. Other people, even whether they believed what he believed or not, saw him in his character and his conduct as for what he was as a follower of Christ. What more could we ask for in our lives? What more could we be? Look, this is hard for us. We look for recognition. We look for titles. We look for applause. We seek financial gain for what we do. All these things. But there's only one in our audience. Our audience consists of one, and that is God and God alone. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And if he sees us as we truly are, and we serve him all that's within us, then our life will be lived to the fullest. And if we as individuals do that in the body of Christ, then guess what? Corporately, we're going to see that in the body of Christ. Growth will take place vicariously. We think we have to go out and do something to make Mount Salem grow. We don't have to do anything. We have to be the people of God. If we will be the people of God, then it will come forth from us. There's been something that's been said in some of the revitalization meetings by our senior statesman. Brother James has said this. So I'm going to call him out on this right here. He said this. He said, you know what? We've been smaller and we've been larger. He said, but it's been dependent on the people's heart at that time. That was a determining factor. It was not how great the preacher was. It was how the people of the body of the church and their proximity and in their walk, their closeness to God, that was the determining factor. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take us growing closer to God. And as we grow closer to God, and as we move in one in a direction that God has led us, then we're going to see that. In the life of our ministry, we've had amazing years and other years. We've seen discord within the body ourselves. And in one particular year, I'm just going to share this. It was an amazing thing. I don't know, maybe a handful, maybe a little over a handful of people. I mean, we were a congregation that was pretty small, you know, in the low hundreds and stuff like that, growing as a church plant. We saw four, five, six people come to Christ every year. And it had become like this regular thing. And that's basically when you walked into the year, you just kind of felt like, hey, four or five people will give their life to Christ and we'll continue to see this. But in one year in particular, in the life of our church, we saw 26 people come to Christ in a 12-month period. And it was an amazing, amazing thing. We saw entire families getting up and coming forward to be baptized in Christ Jesus. We saw not only those families move, but those families reach out and touch the lives of other people. Our congregation was growing. We went from like, I don't know, like the 120s during that year to almost like 250 people that year. So we basically doubled in size. And then I want you to know something. During the midst of that year, as the Georgia Baptist Convention is writing me letters going, what have you done? What have you done to see this many people baptized and this size of a congregation and all this kind of stuff? I couldn't give an answer other than the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But this happened. We started thinking about ourselves. And when we started thinking about ourselves and what was best for us and what we thought was best for the church and individually, it began to fracture. And we went from 26 baptized in one year to the next year, guess how many we had baptized? Four or five people. We could not keep it together because we could not keep our focus on God. But when we got our focus on God and we got ourselves out of the way, God went crazy in our presence for the amount of people that we had. We saw Him do great and mighty things. That's what it's going to take for us to be in harmony for Him. In harmony for Him. In such a way that other people see it. And you know what? That same thing that we've seen in church plants is the same thing James is talking about that's happened here at Mount Salem. So don't say that it cannot happen again, because it's the same God. And guess what? It's the same people sitting in the pews. Amen? Just older. That's right. But that does not mean that we are done. So when we see this, we are the peacemakers. We are the peacemakers because of God, of who He is, because of Christ and what He's done, and because of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is in our lives. It says this, "For blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." We receive sonship. We're treated as a child of God is treated. Now, as any of you growing up, were any of you ever disciplined? Never. Never. Never disciplined. You were just allowed to do whatever you want, whenever you want, however you wanted, right? This is what we want. This is our desire. For it to happen like we want it, when we want it, and how we want it. But God disciplines us. And we struggle with that. Because in His discipline, it requires us to be disciplined in our lives. Harmony is hard work. Any of you here have siblings? I'm an only child. How many of you have siblings? All right. Is it hard work to get along with your brother and sister? Amen. Speak it. Speak that truth. Yes. Amen. So don't tell me that family harmony is not hard work. Don't tell me that spiritual harmony as a brother and sister in Christ is not hard work. I'm going to tell you a little secret here. Y'all probably don't know this. You probably know. We all have different personality types. I'm a type A. So for all of you thinkers who can't make a decision within 5 minutes, you drive me crazy. Because I make a decision and I move on. Is it a bad decision? Quite often, possibly so. But I have made a decision and it's okay because we don't have to think about that anymore, do we? But there's some of you here that are like, nah, I don't know about that. I can walk onto a car lot and buy a car. You got to shop for a while. You got to look online. You got to find the best deal. If it's got a scratch on it, we got to move on. I'm, yeah, right here. I have a truck sitting out there. I want you to know that this lady right here walked out of the dealership 3 times while we were trying to buy it. I was like, I'm looking to buy the truck. We like the truck. It's not for you, it's for me. Nah, man, he ain't doing what I say he's going to do. I'm getting out of here. They came out in the parking lot to get her the last time. But guess what? She got what she wanted. And I got my truck. It's a great day. Do you see? This is what I'm talking about. We're different personality types, but when we're working together and fully functioning in the body, we get to where we want to go. But when we look at each other and we go, you know what? You drive me crazy. So guess what? I'm never going to be around you. I'm going to do all the things that I can to avoid you because your personality is different from mine. And I'm not disciplined enough in my own life to be able to work through that. Then we don't have a fully functioning body of Christ. They've done studies. They put a bunch of type A's in a group together. They put a bunch of conscientious or C's, type C's, in a group together. And what they found was when they were all together, they had problems. In the type A, everyone wanted to be the leader. Nobody wanted to be the follower. So nobody did anything. Everybody made all kinds of decisions, and they made their own decisions, and then they went their own separate way, and nobody followed anyone else. There was no team making whatsoever. And the type C's, the ones that could not, the conscientious, the ones that struggled making decisions, guess what? They never did. They never made a decision. They just talked about it for a very long time. And so as they talked about it and no decision was made, they never came to any consensus on anywhere, so they never had anywhere to go. But what they found out is they took one from each of these different personality types and they put them in a group together. There was harmony within the group. There were people that made decisions. There were people that did the work. There were people that watched over it and made sure it was done right. And it all got done. But we in ourselves want to be around people who are just like us. And so when we're around people who are just like us, we get a bunch of ameners. Yeah, man, go do what you want. I think that sounds great. No thoughts put into it. No checks and balances are put into it. No cares put into it. Stuff might get done. But is that really what we should be doing? Look, I say all this to say that when we're sons and sisters in God, that God has placed us together in harmony to get done what He wants done. It takes all of us, every single one of us. No one is here by chance. You've been brought here by God to serve in this place. And I want to tell you something. It takes a lot of work here. Let me tell you why. I don't know how many folks are here. There's probably written back on a piece of paper back there. But I'm going to guess right here 50 to 60. 55. 50 on the nose. All right? 50 on the nose. You know how many members we have? 265, right, George, to write that? Something like that? 260-something members. Goodness gracious, y'all. We're not even running 20% of the people that say that they're a part of this body. In fact, there's probably a great number of them. We don't even know where they are. we've got to do all that we can to make sure that people get connected. And sometimes it starts with the ones who are already supposed to be connected. And if they've moved on and we find that out, that's perfectly fine. Let's encourage them to get connected where they already are, because that's important. But if they're connected here but are disconnected, then we need to do all that we can to reconnect them to the body of Christ. That's where we start. Then, once everybody's on the same page and we're all connected, then we what? Then we are flowing out into the world and into our community. And we're going to see God. How are we going to see God? We're going to see Him move in people's lives. We're going to see transformed lives. We're going to see people come to Christ. We're going to see these waters stirred. We're going to see new families, new faces, as we evangelize or reach out into our community. They may come through an event. They may come through advertising. They may come through word of mouth, probably the third. The majority of people come through word of mouth. Do you feel confident enough in what's going on here at Mount Salem Baptist Church right this moment to invite people to come to church? Are you consistent enough in your walk with Christ to invite somebody to come to church and them not tell you when they're going to show up, but you actually be here when they do? These are the things, these are the challenges, these are the steps that you and I have to take so that we can have the harmony in Christ. Because look, I'm going to tell you this. The degree of difficulty goes up when the three virtues are put together. When we start having compassion and empathy for other people, seeing them for who they are and where they are, when we start having and living our lives purely and have pure hearts, when we start having harmony, then guess what comes? It's what we're going to talk about next week. Persecution comes. We start getting attacked. People in the body start getting attacked. Christendom as a whole starts getting attacked. And if we're not strong enough to move through that, then you go from where we were and where we've been. Where we've seen in ministry, where you go from seeing all these people baptized and come to Christ to the next year reverting back to where we were and losing people, or where you've been in the past 10 years. Where we've seen great growth and where we've seen not so great. And we begin this roller coaster ride, and we can't ever keep it together. We can't ever keep it together because we can't ever keep it together. John 17, 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 6 gives us what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord's example of prayer for us to pray to God. John chapter 17, verse 21 through 23 is a portion of what Jesus Christ is praying to God for us. This is really the Lord's Prayer. This is what Jesus Christ was praying to the Father for us. Listen to what it says. That they may all be individuals. No. That they may all be what? Say it with me. One. Say it with me. One. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. One, 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 one. I in them as you are in me. That's the reconciliation. I want to invest in their lives just the way that you've invested in my life, Lord. I don't even know them. They're not like me. Their personality's different. They dress different. They look different. They're in a different socioeconomic class than I am. They're just not me. Makes no difference. My job is to connect in their lives because Jesus Christ is connected in mine. Colossians 3, 14 and 15 says this, "Beyond all things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." That sums it up right there. We're to be one together because we were called into this body together. And as we've been called into this body together, we should do whatever it takes to move this body forward together. And when there's harmony and there's unity, there's the power and the presence of God. When there's discord and division, God ain't in it. And so we choose. What do we want? Power in the presence of God, harmony and unity. What we want? Discord and division. We'll get it. We can either live as individuals or we can live as individual people within the body of Christ. No one seeking reward. No one seeking recognition. Only seeking glory for the power and presence of God. Amen? Man, if we could get a hold of this and grasp a hold of this, that term we throw around all the time, revival, would be taking place in our lives and in our communities. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you again for this day, and thank you for the opportunity which we have to open your word and just to see what you have to say. Thank you so much that you have reconciled us unto yourself through the power and the presence and the life of Jesus Christ. Father, the world does not see what we see. The world does not know what we know. The world refuses to hear what we know to be truth. Lord, the only way that we're ever going to make a difference is to live this on a daily basis out before those in the world and not become part of it ourselves. Not to become individualistically thinking only about ourselves and what we gain from having time in the church and what the church can do for us. But Father, thinking as the fact that we have been reconciled to you, what can we do to see others reconciled that same way? Give us that ministry. Give us the opportunity to be the one who makes a difference in someone through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the peace which you give us, a peace which passes all understanding. Father, we give you all the praise and the honor and glory for what you have done in the life of Mount Salem Baptist Church over 200 years. Just the mere fact that we still exist shows the power and the presence of your Spirit in this place. But Father, make us new again. Create in us a clean heart. Make us whole, so that we might go out and be a light in a dark world. These things we pray now in Christ Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.